being dismissed, let me invite you to get your Bibles and turn with me to three particular passages of Scripture that we're going to use in just a few moments. 1 Samuel chapter 15, Joshua chapter 1, Luke chapter 15, and then Ephesians chapter 4. Now let me ask you a question while you're taking your Bibles and turning to those different passages that we're going to look at in just a moment. Dads, if you was asked the greatest gift that you could give to your child or children, what would you answer? What is the single greatest gift that you could give to your child or to your children? Now chances are somebody may say, well, the gift of salvation is the greatest gift. Well, in truth, that gift cannot be yours to give, because that gift is reserved wholly to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Lord God. Those are gifts that only they can give, and they're not gifts that you can give. You can share how to be saved. You can definitely live your life out as a witness of godliness and purity and love and holiness, but you cannot give the gift of salvation because it's simply not yours to give. In the world that we live in, somebody would say, well, you know, they need to be secure financially. You know, they need to have some financial stability about them as they start off. And there's definitely nothing wrong with giving our children finances, giving them a little money along the way and helping them out. But the three greatest gifts that you and I can give have nothing to do with finances, have nothing to do with the world system of money at all. These are three gifts that once they're given to your child or your children, you will set your child or children in motion for success all of their life. Not just financial success, but for genuine, lasting spiritual success that will last all throughout their life. Now, I want to look at different passages this morning. The first passage I want to look at, when you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15, just one simple passage, and it says a great deal, because whenever you think about the greatest gifts that a dad can give, there is no greater gift than you can give your child or children than the gift of obedience to the Lord God. It is amazing in the world and day and time that we live in how many believers, those claim to be saved by the grace of God, are not living a life of obedience to the Lord God. But I want you to listen to what Samuel writes under the inspiration of God. He uses the word obedience in this one passage of Scripture. The word obey is mentioned 67 times throughout the Bible, many, many more in different other ways. But listen to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." In this one passage of Scripture, God makes it abundantly clear through His servant Samuel, one of the greatest gifts that any dad can ever leave to his child or children is the gift of absolute obedience to God. Why? Because God makes it clear when you live a life of obedience to Him, there are some things that He's going to start setting in motion in your life. As a matter of fact, they will be in continual motion, not only in your life, but your children will look at your life and they'll start connecting the dots. I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua has realized the power of obeying the living God. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God speaks to Joshua and Joshua writes this down. And listen to what it says. In the life of Joshua, God made it abundantly clear that there would be real and genuine and lasting success as he lived a life of obedience. Listen to what it says. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous." Look at the word. "Make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God made it very clear to Joshua, as he did to Samuel, that he is a God who wants for his children the best. And God told Joshua, "Joshua, when you read this book of the law, you meditate on it, you study it, you read it, you absorb it. There is something that's going to happen in your life, and those some things are two. You will become prosperous. You will be good success. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it." Dads, when you live out a life of obedience to your children, here's what happens. God starts causing them to start connecting the dots. It's not just going to church. It's not just sitting in a pew. It's not just singing some songs. It's not just this and that. It is serving the living God each day of your life. And Joshua realized, under the inspiration of God, under the leadership of God, that this God whom he served did not have for his life a failure. It is amazing how many dads today are assassinating their children's success. They'll bring them into the world and they'll provide for them financial things. They'll give them money. They'll put IRAs aside for them, CDs, and they'll establish a college fund and all sorts of things. But they will not flesh out a life of obedience. Listen, here's what happens. When there is a dad on earth, when there is a child of God, that man who lives a life of obedience, here's what happens. God causes your children to look at you. Now, they may not say, "I'm looking at Dad," but I can remember as a child watching my mom and dad. You know what I'm talking about. You watch how they act. You watch how they react. You watch how they respond. Time and time and time and time again, I can remember as a little boy watching how my dad and how my mom would respond to situations in life. And as I watched them respond, and as I watched obedience taking place in their life, there's the connecting of the dots. Now listen, you know, God made it clear to Joshua, because here's what happens. God wants your life to be crowned with success. If I ask you, how many of you do you think God wants you to be a failure? Probably none of us would raise our hand. Are you living in a failing way right now? And you see, here is what happens. It starts off, a lot of times it starts off with dads fail to practice obedience, and kids wonder, how do you get through life, Dad? And they look at a dad that's manipulating and coercing and all of that, and you know what happens? You teach your child manipulation and they'll learn to manipulate. You'll teach your child coercion and they'll learn to coerce. And they'll do all the things that you teach them to do, because statistics reveal that your children repeat 95% of what you teach them. In other words, what you live out, because statistics reveal that what we say is revealed 60% of our actions rather than our words. In other words, what you say is your action 60% of the time, if not even more. And you see, here's what God reveals in the life of Joshua and in the life of Samuel. And whenever there is a father that is willing to be obedient to the living God, whenever there is a dad that says, you know what, as for my house, we're going to serve the Lord, you know, some things start happening in that dad's life. God crowns his success, his life with success, and his life with integrity. And am I going to say you're always going to have a wallet full of money or a wheelbarrow full of money? No, I'm not saying that. But there are some things in life that money just absolutely can't buy. Money cannot buy respect. You cannot respect somebody you don't trust. And there are a lot of children today who they've left home, they're not going to go back home, and when they're honestly asked and they reveal, why don't you ever go back? Because of the way that mom and dad treated me, the way that dad treated me. Listen, there is something about living obedience in the life of your children. God made it very clear in Deuteronomy. Listen, you can go to Deuteronomy. You don't have to turn there. But over and over and over again, God spoke to Moses, and he said, all these things will come upon your life and happen to you. In other words, he said, I'll bless you personally. I'll bless you in every way. Now, dads, when you respond to your children and you give your children the gift of obedience, they're not always going to understand it, and they're not always going to appreciate what you're doing. When you obey the living God, first of all, you don't say, honey, do you like what daddy is doing? It is amazing how many dads listen to the guidance of their children. Well, honey, I don't, we're called to be dads. We're called to be the dads that God's put us in the home. You're called to be a godly dad. If you're saved by the grace of God, you are called by God to be godly. No ifs, no ands, no buts about it. He don't call you to be peripheral. He don't call you to be half-hearted. He calls you to be serious. And what Joshua found out is he led an army of hundreds and thousands that obedience to the living God would cause the children of Israel to be blessed. Listen, if it happens in the life of a government, it'll happen in the life of a home, because that's a miniature government where mom and dad's the president, vice president, and you've got all the governing council and the kids. Listen, When you operate by sequence of obedience to the living God, there is something that God does in your life. Number one, he causes your child to be blessed. There is no way you can obey the living God. Listen, Dad, if you want your child to be safe, secure, and sound all the days of their life, you obey the living God. Same thing goes for mothers. You know what happens? Your children will get in a situation in life. They'll get in a crisis, and they'll remember what you did. One crisis comes to my life right now. It happened years ago when Stephanie was just a little girl. I got my car fixed. I'd had it. It was in an accident, and I was bringing it home, and she wanted to drive. And when they got to the driveway, she was just about 7 or 8, 8 or 9, something like that. But anyway, she drove it down the driveway. And I told Charlotte to let me out at the church, and I walked home. I wanted to get a little walking in, and as I was walking home, I saw the car out in the field. And I thought, well, I didn't really think about it. And as I got home, something wasn't right, especially when Charlotte met me on the front porch. And the first thing she said, now don't get mad. Well, anyway, Stephanie had turned the curve, and as she turned the curve to park the car, she got too close to the back porch. Just got the car home from getting it fixed, mind you. She hit the porch, busted the windshield out on the driver's side, tore the mirror off on the driver's side, got down to the field before she could park it. When she got out of the car, she ran in the house and she said, Mom, quick, let's pray. Oh. Now listen, your children are going to get in crisis. But I've never forgotten what she wanted to do. Because she thought, this is a crisis of crisis of crisis of crisis because I don't have the money to fix the car. Things like that will come and go. But here's what happens. Dads, moms, when your children see you obey the living God, you will set them in motion for success all of their life. Listen, you will be absolutely able to walk out of this life serene, secure, because you know you have obeyed the living God. You have set in motion for their life a life of obedience. And you know what? It's going to be okay. Why? Listen, they're going to have their struggles and difficulties. There is something about a life of obedience. There is something about that dad who gives to his children a life of obedience. It always, 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 always works. Now, did it mean that I didn't have to pay for that car? No, I had to put it back in the shop again and had to get it fixed again. But you know what? There's one verse of scripture that's become precious to me, and it came to pass. A lot of things in life just come to pass. Listen, are you giving your child the gift of obedience? Dads, would the living God say about you, you're a man that is serious about obedience? I'm not talking about if it's easy. There's a lot of times when obedience is not easy at all. You've got to make the decisions that are not comfortable, that are not easy. You've got to make some decisions that maybe even your own family doesn't understand or agree with. Listen, but there is always success and prosperity when you make those decisions of obedience. How do I know? Listen, look back over my life and I've seen situation after situation. Didn't want to make that decision. Didn't like that decision that I had to make. But by the hand of God, when I said, Lord, I'm going to obey you and I'll leave you whatever come what may, it's going to be in your hands. There is something about it. Well, not only the gift of obedience, but second of all, the gift of unconditional love. Now, if there's one thing in the human heart that every one of us need, it's love. You know, you talk to any child. Two questions I always ask when I'm counseling somebody. And I'm amazed sometimes at the answers. Person's life is about ready to blow up, about ready to erupt, has one crisis after another and difficulty, and their marriage is about ready to explode. And I ask two questions, and it's amazing sometimes what answers I get. Number one, what's your opinion of your daddy? What do you have to say about your dad? Number two, what do you have to say about your mom? It's amazing how many root problems go back to that one reality, and here's why. Dads, most of us were raised a lot of times in an area of conditional love, that I love you if, I love you when, I love you based on. Well, if you'll turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 15, I won't take time to read all of this, but just a portion of it. Luke chapter 15. You know the story. It's the story of the prodigal son. And beginning in verse 11, really it's a story of our Heavenly Father. Because, and the unconditional love. And just look at the first few verses. And he, beginning in verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. In this one passage of Scripture, you find the younger son, and you read the rest of the story. He wasted what his dad had entrusted to him. He didn't really have a right to the money. He didn't have a right to the inheritance because you did not give to the younger son before you gave to the elder. That was just unheard of in Jewish custom. You always give to the eldest first. But this young son knew that he was going to have an inheritance coming to him, and he says, here's the reality, Dad. I know something is coming to me, and I want it now. Well, you read the scenario in Scripture, and here you find this young man. Bible doesn't say exactly where he went, but the Bible says that he wasted his money. He wasted it with wine, women, song, whatever it was in his mind to do, that's what he did. And the Bible says that he was so poor that he decided that he would go feed the pigs. And, being a Jew and feeding pigs, you had to understand the dilemma because that was beneath him and that was against him. But then in the final scenario, he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to return to my father. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully because this is so significant. When this younger son knew that the bottom dropped out, life caved in, had no money, had nowhere to go, here is one thing that he could remember about his dad. He said, I can go home to my dad. Now listen carefully. Because he can remember that when he was acting up. Now don't you answer this out loud. Have you ever acted up as a kid? You ever just, you can remember, why didn't my dad halfway kill me? You know what I'm talking about. Ever been halfway killed? You that time in your life when you think you knew everything and your parents were so unintelligent, and then you got a few years on and it's amazing how much they had learned. It is. But here's what this young man, he said, he didn't want to wait on his share of the inheritance, but here's what he showed himself in front of his dad. He showed out. He showed himself. He showed his rebellion. He showed his disobedience. He showed his lack of respect. He showed, but you know what? The Bible does not say that this dad punched him in the mouth, threw him across the room, told him, you're going to have, this is going to be a free-for-all, son. It's you against me. One of us is out of here. Let me tell you why so many children don't want to go home. Because dad don't love them anymore. They think. They've been berated enough. They've been demeaned enough. They've been belittled enough. And one of the most intriguing things in this passage of Scripture in Luke 15 is what does not happen. This son acts up. This son acts wild. This son does not want to wait. The dad's just lovingly there, showing him. Now listen, demonstrating, showing this son, unconditional love. What is unconditional love? Unconditional love is this. When a dad says, listen, you're not saying you desire a lot of behaviors. But you know what? Listen, what is more important, the behavior or your child? What is more important, the money or the life of your child? It is amazing how many dads communicate conditional love. I love you if. I love you when. I love you on the basis of. And the Bible makes it very clear. Listen, this son learned that he could ruin his life. Listen, He could ruin his life and then return home. I wonder how many kids know that today. If I've ruined my life, I can go back to Dad. Dad still loves me just the way I am, even though I've shown myself. Dad, what about it when it comes to you? Do you show your son, your daughter, unconditional love? Or is it on the basis of? It's amazing how we communicate. Boy, you got a good job. Can't you ever get a good job? Can't you get this job? Can't you get that job? Can't you ever, you know, do this or do that? Listen, sadly, you know, many young people, you know why they turn to drugs? You know why they turn to sex? Listen, I've heard young ladies say it wasn't the sex. It wasn't so much the issue of sex. Somebody said something nice about me for once. Somebody said something loving to me for once. And that's the reality of what happens so many times. Listen, when the son in Luke 15, the Bible says he came to his senses. Here's what he remembered. I can go back to Dad. You know why? He's not berated me. He's not belittled me. He's not put me down. Now, I want to ask every one of us that are dads, even if your dad is dead and gone, could you honestly go to your earthly dad after you had blown it? Or would your dad let you have what for? You see, that's what we communicate. Maybe you got that as a kid and you always think that's the way you... It's amazing how foolishly we parent sometimes. It's amazing what we communicate in parenting. And you know what happens is this. I've heard people and I've heard parents, I've heard dads, I've heard mothers, I've heard grandmothers. I just don't understand why my child don't ever want to have anything to do with me anymore. If they'd listen to me, I'd tell them. You berate your child, you put them down, you belittle them long enough, they'll not want to come around you. You can be in the worst crisis in your life, and they'll say, I'm sorry, I'm busy. You know why? Every one of us that are breathing want and yearn for somebody to love us in spite of ourselves. Amen? Think about it. Here is Almighty God. Now think about this. Have you ever thought about this? No matter how much you've acted up, God's never changed his love for you. God will never change his love for you. That's just who he is. No matter what you do, no matter how bad you blew it this past week, you said, well, I use some swear words. Don't change his love. I said some things that were hideous and horrible. I used some bad language. Don't change his love. You see, here's what we misunderstand. And I'm not saying that God wants it by God forbid. But he can never change his love for you. That it will never happen. That's not the nature of God. But not only the gift of obedience and the gift of love, thirdly, the gift of forgiveness. Turn to Ephesians 4:32. You have it in your outline, but just turn there for a moment. You know, let me say this before I get to this third one. When you show unconditional love to your child, you know what you're doing? You're saying, honey, no matter what happens in life, you can always come back to me. And you know what they will? They'll come back to you. They'll come back to you and they'll love you because you showed them a love that only God could show you. Well, the third gift, the gift of giving to others complete and total forgiveness. Now listen to me very carefully. If I had to, all three of these, but probably the hardest to give is this third one, the gift of forgiveness. But I want you to listen to Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, every one of us know what it's like to get hurt. You get hurt in marriage, you get hurt as a single person, you get hurt by your parents, you get hurt by your neighbors, you get hurt by your friends. And here's the way unforgiveness sets in. Somebody says something to you and you say, well, I'll forgive them when they apologize. I'll forgive them if they'll say I'm sorry. There's just one problem to that. I've had a lot of people that have hurt me and they've never said I'm sorry. They'll never even know they hurt me. You see, here's the reality. Every one of us get hurt all through life. Amen? Now, let's be serious. Every one of us get hurt. Say it like you mean it. We get hurt. Amen? Exactly. You get hurt, and your wife says something to you. Your husband says something to you. Your children say something to you. Because we live in this human body. We live in this one God-given body, but it is flawed. It's human. We're going to get hurt. And, you know, the reality is this. Forgiveness, whenever you get hurt, if you don't forgive, your life starts stinking. Now, there's no better way to say it that you can understand it. Imagine going 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days without a shower. Okay, you're on your 6th week, your 7th week, 8th week, 10th month, 12th month, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, and you've not taken a shower. I heard a lady tell me one time, she said, "You know what? I've not washed my hair in 40 years. And I said, "Oh, really?" Now listen, we would think it hideous, but you know what happens? When you do get hurt, you're waiting for that person to apologize to you. It don't have to be a big thing. It can be some small thing. Your wife hurt you and you're waiting for her to apologize, or your husband or your children. And all of a sudden they don't apologize. Or all of a sudden they don't come around. All of a sudden they don't, you know. And you know what happens? It gets a little worse. You get a little angry. Adds to a little anger, a little bitterness, a little bitterness, a little more anger, a little more anger, a little more rage. And all of a sudden you're like an atom bomb ready to go off at any time. Somebody said, "How you doing?" "What do you mean, how am I doing?" I mean, people are, you become so touchy. And all of a sudden you're going, "Why don't people come around? I want to know why people don't come around me." Because you're ready to explode. It is bad for your body. It's bad for your central nervous system. It's bad for your nerves. It's bad all the way around. And you see, the one reality about life is this. We're going to get hurt. I was in Lexington and a fellow missed my turn and I slowed down abruptly and needed to turn around. And a fellow waved at me. But he forgot all of his fingers. Hurt my feelings. He didn't know me and I didn't know him, but he didn't have to salute me that way, but that's all right. But just the small things in life. Now think about it. The reason why so many dads spew out venom and moms too is because we've never learned how to forgive. I want you to listen to me real carefully. And I say this and I'll stand behind it. And if you, just because you're saved don't mean you know how to forgive. Just because you've been saved for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years does not mean you know how to forgive. I found out back somewhere along in my pastorate, if I was going to ever have peace, I had to learn to forgive. I had to learn to forgive people that didn't mean what they said, but it hurt anyway. I had to forgive family. I had to forgive friends. I had to forgive neighbors. And you see, the thing about it is, one of the reasons why there's not much a deeper connectedness between fathers and children is this. Dads, do you know how to forgive? Do you know how to forgive? You see, forgiving doesn't say, "My son didn't mean it, my daughter didn't mean it." Forgiveness means you bow your head and say, "Father, you've canceled my debt at the cross. By your shed blood, I cancel my wife's debt, my daughter's debt." You say, "Well, is it that easy?" No. I can tell you that it's not easy when you get hurt and somebody deliberately says something, but think about this. If you're a child of God, Jesus Christ lives on the inside of your heart. Amen? Does Jesus forgive absolutely everyone that asks him? Sure he does. He's even forgiven those who don't ask him, but they have to receive the gift of salvation to make it real. When you deliberately forgive, that is the single greatest key. I want you to listen. I want you to listen. Forgiving is the single greatest key to perpetual peace, joy, happiness, and tranquility inside your soul. I didn't just say forgiving once. Perpetual. You see, some dads are like King Saul. King Saul got mad at his own son and threw a javelin, tried to kill him. He threw a javelin at David, tried to kill him. And you know what? There's a lot of kids don't want to go home to dad. There's a lot of kids that phoned this morning because I don't want to go home. Because dad's been perpetually angry for a long time. Dads, if you're a Christian, God gives you the power to forgive. God empowers you. Now, I didn't know that for a long time. But when the Lord finally got my attention and said, Benny, I've given you the power to forgive, I went back and the Lord laid on my heart people that had hurt me. And I said, Father, they've hurt me, but I choose to forgive them. Notice the choice of words I used. I choose to forgive them. And you know what happened? It's just like a weight was gone. You say, Pastor, do you get hurt? Sure. There is not one person I will not forgive. You say, now, wait just a minute. You know why? Here's what the Lord showed. It's through forgiveness that you have peace. And you see, dads, if you don't forgive, you don't forgive your son. See, sometimes we don't want to say it, but sometimes you say, well, you know, I don't want to say it, but my child, my son, my daughter, they've done some things to embarrass me. Let me ask you a question. What have you done to embarrass the Father? You see, there'll never be a thing that you do but what the Father won't forgive us. When you say, Heavenly Dad, will you forgive me? Done, son. I choose to forgive you. You see, dads, when you lay in state someday, someplace, somewhere, your children will remember who you really was, what you was really like. Your child will remember, or children, he was just never any fun. Couldn't talk to him. I wanted to talk to him so bad, but I couldn't talk to him. He was always so touchy. The issue may very well be that there's somebody in your past that you've not forgiven. But you know what? When you forgive, you teach your children, honey, no matter how bad you blow it in life, you can always go to the Father and He'll forgive you. No matter what you do in life, there's always forgiveness. Only God knows where you are in your life. But friends, you can give these, dads, you can give these because the Father gives them to us. You can call your name. The Father says, Benny, I love you just the way you are. You obey me and I'll bless you. Is that right, Father? Absolutely, son. Father, Benny, I want you to know I love you unconditionally. Is that right, Dad? Yes, I do. Son, you don't have to do anything for me to love you. I love you on your good days and your bad days. You know what I'm talking about. I unconditionally love you. Son, no matter what you do, I'm going to forgive you. Why, Father? Because it's already been done through Jesus Christ, my son. You see, when you realize the gifts God's given you, then you pass that on to your child. Because you're going to leave here, and you're going to leave this world. What have you done with the greatest gift of all, the gift of Jesus Christ? Do you have Him in your heart as your Lord and Savior? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your grace and your goodness, your love and your mercy, for giving us your unconditional love. Lord, we don't have to do a thing to be loved by you. Lord, the world says do this, do that, do the other, but you love us and you love loving us. That's just who you are. And Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Father, for that person who's here who needs to come, who needs to follow you. Maybe they need to join this fellowship. Maybe they need to be saved. Have your will and your way is our prayer. In Jesus we ask.